In August of 1974, I remember it, President Nixon said goodbye.
You are here to say goodbye to us, and we don't have a good word for it in English. The best is au revoir. We'll see you again.
Richard Nixon and his wife, Pat, saying goodbye to the White House staff and saying goodbye to Washington, essentially forever. It was a tacit acknowledgement of his role in the Watergate scandal that brought down members of his presidential staff. Those members were not at that goodbye. Richard Nixon resigned at noon on August 9th, 1974. The resignation, of course, the first in the nation's history, and so was his appearance before a grand jury in June of the next year, 1975. Until now, President Nixon's testimony was sealed, but just yesterday, the Nixon Presidential Library released the documents online, thanks in part to the efforts of our next guest. Joining us now, Stanley Cutler, professor emeritus of history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and author of Wars of Watergate. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
So what did you think this testimony contained, and what kind of a treasure is it for historians this morning?
Before I do that, I just have to tell you, you used the last line in my play when you said Richard Nixon only said au revoir, because we still do have him around, as evidenced by yesterday.
Indeed.
Well, the grand jury testimony is, you go into a grand jury by yourself, to no lawyers, no aides, no spin masters. And in a way, it's sort of Nixon unplugged. And it really is, because the full manifestations of his personality come out in there. He doesn't really answer anything. He's enough of a lawyer to know you don't lie to the grand jury. But he's a skilled politician who, for 40 years, artfully dodged questions, shaded the truth, and he knew how to do it. And that's so much on display yesterday in the material we saw.
Stanley Cutler, do you get the sense that Nixon viewed this grand jury testimony as kind of a formality on his way into what would be a very productive retirement as a writer?
Well, yes. No question. By the way, he still was a little ill at that time, having the after effects of phlebitis. I always say that the speech he gave in the White House on August 9th to his friends and staff, that's the opening salvo in his campaign for history. He may not have been president, but he's going to be around, and he was around for almost 20 years, as I said, campaigning for history.
And, as an effective campaigner for history, does this testimony help that or hurt that?
No, I don't think it made any particular dent in that one way or another. It's very interesting when you chart the campaign that Nixon wages for 20 years. Every time he'd write another memoir, he wrote memoirs in order to pay off lawyers, because he fought like the devil to keep his tapes suppressed. You know, we didn't get those until after he died.
Right.
He fought
for 20 years, and he certainly had an impact on history's verdict of him. That is for sure. Stanley Cutler, professor emeritus of history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, author of Wars of Watergate, among other books, and a play, talking about the release of the Nixon tapes of his testimony before a grand jury in 1975. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.